Good evening, everyone. Let's call tonight's meeting of the Board of Education to order on December 19th, 2013, 6 p.m. Pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan, and in the schools within time limits prescribed by law. If we all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please, Sandy.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Here.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Here.
Mrs. De Palma?
Here.
Mr. Forrester?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
He's here, Sandy. He's in the back.
Mr. Fiore? Mr. Shelton?
Here.
Mrs. Verdi?
Present.
Mr. Walsh?
Here.
Mrs. Walsh?
Here.
Okay. The record show Mr. Pellegrino is just entering the meeting. Mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within a community that regards student, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then referred to the appropriate board committee. The members of the board committee work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that the members fully understand the matter. When the committee is satisfied with the matter, it is presented to the Board of Education for discussion before any final action is taken. Only then is it placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of special meeting and closed executive session of November 11, 2013, regular open business meeting of November 21, 2013, and the regular open business meeting of December 3, 2013. Closed session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed session no longer exist. We have a motion and a second by Mr. Pellegrino, Mrs. Walsh, and Mr. Shelton, I'm sorry. All in favor? A roll call?
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Forrester?
Yes, but I'm staying after November 11th.
Mr. Pellegrino?
I'm going to abstain.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
I'm going to have to abstain from the 11th and the 21st. I was unable to open them, the PDFs, but I was able to see the 3rd, so yes to the 3rd.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. At this time, we are going to have a superintendent's report. I'm sorry, we are going to have a presentation initially. Mr. Robert Holsart, our auditor, and he will give his report at this point in time. Mr. Holsart, if you would, please.
Thank you. I'll say good evening to everyone. Just have a few brief comments, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. My brief comments are that, again, we have the two reports. We have the thin report, which is the management report, the big report, which is the CAFRA, which has four parts to it. The first part, the introductory section, is prepared by the board office. The second section, the financial report, we prepare. The third section, the statistical report, again, is prepared by the board office. And the fourth section is the single audit, which again is prepared by us. We certify the two sections that we prepare. Our responsibility on the other two sections is to review for content, but we don't certify any of the information. If you have the report, I would ask you to turn to page 53 of the CAFRA. Here, I think what we have here is the calculation, the 2% calculation for surplus and the breakdown of the surplus. And I'd just like to briefly go through that with you. You take the total general fund expenditures, you deduct the pension and Social Security that's paid by the state, which is a pass-through. You come up with a net figure, in your case, $23,690,881. You take 2% of that, which is $473,818. You're allowed to add adjustments for extraordinary aid and non-public transportation aid. The reason is that they're not given to the district until after the end of the year. Therefore, they allow you to get an exception for that because you're going to be using it in the following year. So this brings your total maximum balance that you could retain as unallocated surplus of $542,373. Now, your general fund balance at June 30th was $1,069,888. Of that amount, you've allocated $241,087 to four reserves: capital reserve, emergency reserve, tuition reserve, and maintenance reserve. And this money is set aside for specific purposes in these particular reserve categories. You have excess surplus from the previous year of $63,879. You've already used that in a subsequent budget, therefore it's no longer available. You have encumbrances of $4,891. These are items that were encumbered in the 2012-13 year, are rolled into 2013-14, and will be spent against that budget. You have your tuition reserve that you're reappropriating in your budget of $125,500. And you have designated for subsequent years' expenditures, these are rollovers, of $92,158. So after you take out this money, you're left with $542,373. And that is unallocated surplus. You can use it for any purpose. You have no excess surplus at this point. Now that's a picture of where you stand financially. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody might have in relation to the audit.
Are there any questions from the board? Dominic, did you have something?
No.
Mr. Holzer, thank you very much. It appears we have no questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If you no longer need me, I'll say good night.
I'm sorry, say again?
If you no longer need me, I'll say good night.
I think that's just fine. Good night, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. Okay, at this time we are going to move on to the superintendent's report. Mrs. LaPrete.
Thank you very much. I'd like to refer to enrollment attachment A, which is attached, and the attendance comparison, fire drill reports, suspensions, and tardies, which is your document B. The HIB report is document C, and that is the HIB report for the month. We have to report out for each month, and then we have to do a HIB report for the first half of the year and the second half of the year in reviewing records. The HIB report was never done last year from January 2013 to June 2013, so I'm asking the board to approve that this evening. What the minutes reflect that there were 12 cases reported, 4 cases were confirmed, the other 8 were incidents. We now move forward to the mid-year electronic violence and vandalism reporting system, otherwise known as EVVRS, from January 2013 to June 2013, and let the minutes reflect that the elementary school during that period of time had 3 incidents and the high school had 8. Thank you.
May I have a motion to accept the superintendent's report, please?
So be.
Mr. Campbell, a second?
Second.
Second.
Mrs. Walsh? Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Forrester?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carrie.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I would ask the board for a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
For items 1 and 7, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so moved. We will be moving into closed session for approximately 1 hour or less. We hope to be back shortly after 7 o'clock. Thank you for bearing with us. Okay, we are now back in session. I thank all of you for being patient. May we have a roll call, Sandy, please?
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Here.
Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Mr. Clayton?
Here.
Mrs. DePalma? Mr. Forrester?
Here.
Mr. Fiore? Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mr. Shelton?
Here.
Mrs. Verdi?
Here.
Mr. Walsh?
Here.
Mrs. Walsh?
Here.
Joyce Pegler?
Here.
Joyce is here. Thank you, Sandy. And with that, that's a great segue. We are going to ask you, Joyce Pegler is our student representative. We will ask her for her student representative report. Joyce?
So the Academy of Finance held their 7th annual toy drive this year, and they were able to collect 306 toys, which is the best year ever. The toys were delivered by some of the Academy of Finance seniors to Thurgood Marshall Elementary School in Asbury Park. And that's the school that works with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. The school has about 500 kids, and many of them cannot afford a lot at this time, so the school tries to give every student a toy before Christmas. And Marshall Elementary School had previously collected 150 toys, and the donation by the Academy of Finance will go a long way towards helping them reach their goal. And Mr. Driscoll received a call from the representative from Big Brothers and Big Sisters, who said that the people at the elementary school were thrilled. Through the penny wars that we had over the pep rally that time, the competition, we raised enough money to feed 202 families through the Monmouth and Ocean County food banks. and the Key Club raised over 800 cans of food that will go to local families during this time. That's it. Thank you.
That's great, Joyce. Thank you very, very much for that report. We'll now have a couple of our committee reports. Mr. Pellegrino, if we can start with you. Committee report on athletics and community.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Athletics committee met last Monday. I believe it was Monday. And there's a couple motions on the agenda tonight to reflect our meeting. We will ask for the appointment of a volunteer assistant hockey coach. And we also will ask for the board to approve recognizing the JV ice hockey team as an extracurricular activity for the purpose of ensuring the team under the board's blanket liability insurance policy. The team will be, I apologize for my voice, the team will be completely funded through donations, and the insurance will be, there'll be no increase in the insurance as far as the overall policy, but they have to be recognized as an extracurricular activity, and they have to be called a team and not a club for them to qualify for the insurance coverage. So it's strictly for the insurance coverage. It's at no cost to the district for the insurance and or any other equipment or anything else. That will still be funded through donations, as it always has been. We're just to recognize them as a team for the insurance purposes. And in case anyone asks, the volunteer assistant coach is not related to anyone in the program. And that's all we have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. By the way, last night was a great hockey game, Manasquan against Wall. If any of you were there, or if you were not there, you missed a great game. So come on out and support the hockey team if you have any interest at all. It's a great, great night out. Next report. Thank you, Tom. Next report. Julia, you want to give a brief report for policy, please?
Our last board meeting, we had several community members voice some concerns over RSDT. So we moved our policy meeting up to December 11th and invited those community members in with members of our administration, our attorney, and we had Matt Franz, our sports safe vendor, via Skype for that, as well as Lee Busco, our student assistance counselor. And we discussed allegations and concerns so that we could report to the full board as we discussed in executive session. And I'll write that report for the full board at the conclusion of this meeting.
Thank you, Julia. Finance Committee, Mike Shelton.
Thank you, Tom. We met, I met with Mr. Clayton, Mr. Campbell, Ms. Lapreet, Mr. Carrere. Also, Mr. Forrester was in attendance, as well as Ms. Muley and Mr. Serino, board members-elect, on the 17th. Topics were primarily related to ROD grants and the status of those. We have right now received 8 of 11 of the awards, and I assume people will be following up on that. Brief discussion about the budget calendar. Mr. Correa will be working with the new board on that. Also on the agenda tonight is approval for, or a motion to approve, purchasing AEDs, defibrillators, to be able to be available at the sports facilities and other places where the kids practice. It's going to become a state law next September, but it's something that we have the money for now, and it makes sense to now it's for student safety. So, and then the auditor was here, for those who weren't here, presented the last year's audit report earlier tonight. And there's also some security system upgrades on the agenda this evening. Recommendations of Mr. Clayton that he needs to help do what he wants to do around the district. So we'll be having a motion to approve that as well. That's really it.
Okay, Mike, thanks. And while you're warmed up, I'm gonna ask you to give a brief Building and Grounds Committee report also. I am the chairman of the committee. However, I was absent at our last one, unable to make it, and Mike filled in for me. So a few words, Mike.
Can I say ditto? Not having the minutes with me from that, I think the discussion also parlayed over to the ROD grants, some security initiatives. And Mr. Correa, do you have anything that I'm not thinking from Building and Grounds portion? I'm
perhaps
sorry.
Any update on the ROD grants, yeah, Dominic?
You basically had to do.
Use a microphone, please.
Actually, the Buildings and Grounds Committee meeting just focused on
going over the status of the ROD grants, and we spent the majority of the meeting talking about that in terms of the number of ROD grants that were approved, and there were three that weren't, and what our options were going forward with respect to how we were going to fund these particular projects. And that's, you know, for later discussion earlier in the coming year.
Okay, thank you. Any comments or Pat, question?
For the public's information,
yes.
Report on what was approved.
Sure, Dominic, do you have a break, for the ROD grants, you mean?
For the ROD
yes.
grants, yeah.
Do you have a breakdown with you, Dominic, by any chance? I know we applied, I believe, for 10. We applied for 11, and we were granted 8, I believe.
Yeah, there were actually 11 that were applied for and 8 that were approved. In fact, I think there's a write-up in the Coast Star today with respect to what was approved.
The but Coast Star, is that our local paper? The Coast Star? Yes, okay, got it.
Yeah, that's our local paper.
Just checking.
Yeah, there were 4 projects that were approved at the elementary school. One had to do with the fire alarm system replacement. The second had to do with replacing the exterior windows in the old wing. And that project was broken down into 2 different halves. Both of those halves, we got the okay. And the 4th project at the elementary school was the replacement of the automatic temperature control system. The one project that was not approved at the elementary school were the modifications to the entrance, the front entrance, for security reasons, and that was not approved. At the high school, there were 4 projects also that were approved. One project was for, this was a large number, was for $1,468,200. And that was for the replacement of the HVAC as well as the automatic temperature control systems. The second project that was approved at the high school was the replacement of the fire alarm system. The third project was the replacement of the HVAC and equipment. And the last project was the security entrance modifications at the high school that was approved. At the high school, there were 2 projects that were not approved. One was the modifications and renovations to the science lab. That was not approved. And the second project at the high school that wasn't approved had to do with replacing the interior doors and hardware. So basically, we got the preliminary cost estimates. In a month, we'll get another letter from the state, which basically says what our final cost estimates are. And at that point in time, the board will have to move by resolution to accept these particular grants. Nothing is needed now, but in a month, there will be a resolution on the agenda accepting the final cost estimates from the state. And then, okay. and then we just have to move forward. We have 18 months from the date that we get the final cost estimates to actually use the money. We have to come up with the local share of these projects, and we have 18 months in which to do so and to take action.
But and the local share percentage is what, Dominic?
I'm sorry?
Can you explain the percentage of local share versus the state?
Yeah. I have it in nothing. The local share, I'll say the state share was 40%. And the local share was 60%. And we had, I think I have it in the minutes. The total cost of the projects that were approved was $3,860,462. Of that, we were going to be getting from the state, if we do all of these projects, we would get from the state funding from the state in the total of $1,544,185. The local share, or 60% of this first number, is $2,316,277. That's the number that the board would have to fund if we were to do all of these projects. And again, at the Finance Committee meeting, we talked about various options
to fund local share, and that's something that the new board will be talking about in, you know, greater detail.
Thank you, Dominic. Okay, let's move on.
Tom,
could
you just review what the process was for the selection of the projects that we submitted our applications for? How did Buildings and Grounds decide what projects we wanted to ask for funding?
Yeah, well, there was the long-range facility plan we studied. We I'm sorry, you're pointing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we reviewed a number of projects, and in fact, we to our credit, we put this together very quickly at the last minute because we got some misinformation early on that indicated that we were not able to submit for these. So I think we did a yeoman's job in getting all these projects put together based on the needs of the school as described by Dominic, the ones that we submitted. And I think the Building and Grounds at the last minute, with the help of several of our consultants, did a wonderful job in putting this together. Okay, okay. With that, I think we can move on to public comment on our agenda. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that you represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to the comment on items included in this agenda only. Okay, are there any comments this evening on the agenda items? Seeing none, we will move on, and I will ask.
There is one.
I'm sorry? This is on agenda items only? Yes. Step to the mic, please.
Okay. Heather Garrett, Mealy 28 Elizabeth Avenue. I just had a quick question, just because we had time to go through the 21 pages. Is that a Strauss-Esme policy? Did they go through it? One question I just had was there's demerits and merit system. Is that once they're in the system, or is it for all the kids from the get-go?
Julia.
The merits and demerit system? The second one, the 21-page one.
Yeah, that's all administrative. I believe it's
all.
All the kids?
How are they going to keep track of that for each
every
kid?
A little louder, things, Heather, please.
How are they going to keep track of that? There's things like coming to class on time, you get 5 merits.
The high school administration does that.
They keep
this policy was the only, I think it's the second reading now, excuse me, this policy corrected just the, when there is an incident that the superintendent, high school principal, and the attorney would collaborate and discuss. That was a change. And then I think on one of the numbers, it was the archaic technology from years ago that we took that out. Other than that, there is a policy of demerits in the high school, and they are on that. But these are for all kids. This has nothing to do with any other student policy.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mrs. Mueller.
Any other comments? Seeing none, I will ask for a motion on the Manasquan items for approval. And do we have any objection to lumping these together? We have the Manasquan items are items 12 through 28.
So moved.
There is a motion to approve items 12 through 28 by Mr. Shelton. A second, Mr. Campbell. Comments?
I have a question on document H. concerning transfer.
I'm sorry, which one, Pat?
Document H concerning the transfer of funds. We have transferred $30,000 into our account for legal fees. I wondered if you can tell me where those, what account those monies came from.
Document H.
It's the sheet on budget transfers. Page 1, Manasquan Board of Education Expense Account Adjustment Analysis for the month of November.
And it's H that you have? Because this is the H I have.
Well, it's stapled to H.
Yes, okay. And what page are you looking at?
It's page 1 of the Manasquan Board of Education Expense Account Adjustment Analysis.
Okay, it's all the way in the back.
I just want to know where, what account the money was transferred from.
Dominic is
to
checking.
Cover these legal fees. The salaries of other professionals is the nomenclature for the fund. That just seemed like a lot of money.
Still checking.
I guess the question had to do with the transfer into other legal services from one account. All right. We transferred $30,000. Yeah, what account? We transferred from other employee benefits, which was the 11000291290220000. The entire amount was taken from that line.
And that's to cover the legal fees for the board attorney? Am I reading that correctly?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
We transferred that money into 11000230333121010100. Says board attorney. Am I reading that correctly?
It's the account that we transferred into was 11000230331210100.
Right.
Thank you, Dominic. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please, Sandy.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Birdie?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carrie.
Okay, thank you. We'll now have we would like to move items 29 through 48 for the Manasquan Setting District items. Do we have a motion for approval?
Yes. Mr. Bauer?
That was a motion?
No, I have a question.
Okay, I think we need a motion first.
You need a motion and a
motion by Mr. Shelton.
I might want to separate.
So you want to separate? Thank you.
I might. I don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead. I have a question.
You got it.
What does the memorandum of agreement with law enforcement officials look like now, as opposed to what it looked like last year? And can we see it?
That's number 29.
Correct.
I did not have an opportunity to stop in the board office to read that either. So, Renee, perhaps you can update us on the changes we made.
Earlier, a couple months ago, I met with Chief Carrera and the administration, and basically it's the same document. There really are minimal changes, just updating it. With the station house adjustments now, that will be something that's no longer part of the agreement. The other thing is we filled it in completely. In the past, it was not completely updated. So the chief and I went over it. And in fact, just the other day, Mr. Passamont, we had five signatures on it, including the board president, myself, a couple other people, the county prosecutor, and the chief. And it just came back. So we put it online for a review. So is there a question that you have, Mr. Pellegrino, I can answer?
I haven't seen it, so I'd rather be separate. I'm not going to vote. I can't vote.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
So if you want to separate that, that's fine.
Okay. We can. Do you want to separate it?
I'm not voting for it.
Okay. All right. So for item 29, a motion for approval?
So moved.
Ms. Walsh? Second. Ms. Verdi? Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Forrester?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
No.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
I didn't see it either, so I'm going to abstain from that.
Mr. Walsh?
I'm going to abstain as well.
Mrs. Walsh?
I'm also going to abstain.
Okay, items 30 through 48. Motion by Mr. Shelton and a second. Mr. Campbell? Questions, comments? Mr. Pellegrino?
I failed to mention the donation of the wrestling mat in the athletic report, but that was donated. That was a mat that was used in the Olympic trials at Rutgers. It was donated, delivered free of charge to be used by the wrestling team, and we appreciate that donation. Just want to point that out.
Thank you. A roll call, Sandy?
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Forrester?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes to all with the abstention of number 42.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Karen.
Okay, it's carried. Thank you. Okay, at this time, we will have our public forum. Anyone wishes to make a comment at this time, please step forward again. State your name, address, any group you may represent. And tonight, given the time of year, I'm going to ask you to begin with a Merry Christmas. So please step up and have at it. Okay, seeing none. Oh, seeing one.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Grace Roberts, 25.
Tom, can you help? I think, Grace, hold on one moment. I think we need to turn that on.
It's on.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to speak right into it, Grace.
Thank you. Grace Roberts, 23, Lebanon Drive, Brielle.
You got to get right up to it. Yeah, nice and close.
Okay. On December 11th, we met with policy. What is the status of the random drug testing program? So it's still suspended then?
It is currently in a suspended state. That is correct.
Okay. Did you have any answers to the questions that we brought up?
Mr. Gross?
For purposes of this meeting, I would certainly let the community know that the board, as a result of a review from the policy committee, which included a meeting that both you and your husband attended along with another parent, the issues that you raised during those meetings and in the prior board meeting, our office took a look at. We investigated each of those allegations, and the board was given our opinion with regard to the compliance issues that you raised concerning the regulations that are in effect in the state of New Jersey, and as to the contract that is currently undertaken for the 13-14 school year between the district and the vendor. And we have provided our legal opinion to the district in the executive session with regard to the compliance that the district has with regard to its policy. The district certainly is free to, at this point in time, reinstitute the policy if it would like to, ensuring that all issues of compliance are in effect, to do so, to also clarify for purposes of the forms that you raised and the student handbook to make sure there are no ambiguities with regard to that. So the board would have the ability to reinstate the policy if they so desired. The board could decide this evening to totally disband the policy entirely and to rescind the policy if it's so found necessary. Or the board could decide this evening to do absolutely nothing, which would keep the policy in suspension until further review or investigation would occur.
Are you saying that the board is going to vote on that tonight?
I can't anticipate what the Board of Education will do tonight.
Okay, how about the infractions that have already taken place?
I'm sorry, say again, Grace.
The infractions that have already taken place.
What is your question?
Well, what's going to be done about it?
That will all be dependent on what the board does with regard to the policy.
Okay, because I mean, like for charging the parents for the follow-ups that you're not supposed to do, what does that have to do with what the board decides tonight?
If you'd like me to answer that question specifically with regard to the charging, the Board of Education, the policy that is currently in effect indicates that the board would pay for the random drug test. Parents are obligated to pay for any subsequent testing that is done or any retesting that is done. That is in compliance with the state regulations.
Well, not according to the deputy director of the SBA.
I spoke with the deputy director after I saw the email that you exchanged because I was concerned as to his response to you, which was totally different than the response that someone from his organization also gave to the Co-Star. So when I spoke with the senior staff attorney today, maybe you should call them back tomorrow.
Okay, well, we have his response in writing.
I'm sorry?
We have his response in writing.
I saw it, and maybe you should give them a call tomorrow because the district is in compliance.
Okay, and the licensing and certifications and?
With regard to the licensing and certification, there is no problems with the MROs that are utilized by our current vendor.
Okay, so when we have the two agencies that certify them saying that Joseph Franz wasn't certified, how can you answer that satisfactorily?
I believe that from our investigation, I am satisfied, certainly, from the investigation that was conducted to date, that Dr. Franz, who passed away last year, was always a certified physician under the AAMRO, because I called them specifically, and although it wasn't in their database, they had to go through their archives, and they found his certification, which I think you were provided a copy of.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, then I'll provide it to you certainly this evening.
I'd appreciate
no
that.
No problem.
And any other comments, Chris? I'm sorry.
The MedTox licensing?
I'm sorry, your comment is what?
The MedTox laboratory that doesn't have a state license?
With regard to the state licensing, certainly there seems to be some ambiguity between the state regulation requiring that and the position of the vendor. I would tell you that without breaching any attorney-client privilege, I'm sure the board would not hesitate for me to be able to tell you that it was my advice to them that if they want to continue with this policy and continue with this vendor, they should require from that vendor to use a state certified laboratory, although prior to this date they were satisfied that they were using a fully certified vendor, just not certified in the state of New Jersey, because the state wasn't going to certify labs that did not either take the samples in state or conduct the testing in state. So that's why I'm saying there's an ambiguity with regard to the state requiring it, but yet they won't license out of state to facilities.
Well, it's my understanding that the New Jersey state law requires the labs to be licensed in the state of New Jersey.
That's what the regulation says, yes.
And MedTox is not.
Thank you, yes. Any other comments?
Well, how do you rectify that, having this lab?
As I said before, I think I told you that I've advised the board that if they want to reinstitute the policy, they should require their vendor to require a state lab so as to avoid any further confusion concerning that ambiguity.
Okay, well, that lab has already certified or tested without a license all these years. And you don't have a problem with that?
No, I mean, that's history.
So you're not accountable for not complying with New Jersey state law? Is that what
you're saying? We understand the issue.
As I said to you before, I'm not suggesting that it was not in compliance. There was an ambiguity, so as to avoid any further confusion, it's my advice to use a state lab, yes.
I understand what your opinion is, but I've also read the law, and I also have an opinion. So if you want to say that you're okay with it, I'm not okay with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments this evening?
Good evening and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you,
Mr. Roberts. My name is Dennis Roberts. I live at 2311 On Drive, Brielle. Mr. Gross, I'm just a little confused. From what you said, are you implying that it would be prudent for the board to proceed to a vote to possibly reinstitute the drug testing program as it stands today?
Yeah, Mr. Roberts, I think Mr. Gross indicated that is one option that the board would have.
Okay.
Clearly, yes. And let me just remind everyone that this is actually a comment period. You're free to make comments to the board. It's not necessarily a question and answer, but...
It not necessarily is, but we do that. I've seen it at board meetings. You've asked questions of your presentations and so on.
Okay.
So I'm just asking...
We'll try to be helpful, yeah, but if you have comments, please make them, yes.
Thank you. I feel that we've put forth some damning evidence that shows that the policy is riddled with problems. The way it was instituted, the way it's carried out, it just seems that we totally disagree with what we've been told about the paying for retesting, and all evidence that we have shows that the school is to pay for that. When you couple that with the MRO, the medical review officer problems, there are just so many problems with this. I don't know how you could possibly move forward with it. But aside from all those problems, I wanted to talk about how punitive this program is and what the goals are for the drug testing program. Because I have a quote here from the National Education Association. There's a growing recognition that extracurricular involvement plays a role in the protection of students from substance abuse and other dangerous health behaviors. But our program here takes us out of those programs. It takes us out of extracurricular activities. It's punitive. Many studies that I've read, looked at, show that RDT doesn't work. It's ineffective. It causes distrust, dissension, and causes some students to withdraw. I'm going to quote again from the Association of Addiction Professionals. Protecting America's youth from alcohol and drugs requires more than a simple drug test. We need a greater commitment to prevention and treatment. At-risk and marginal students need the support systems and mentoring relationships that extracurricular activities provide. Excluding students who test positive for drugs will likely exacerbate their problems. I have seen tests that show schools with the random drug testing have similar or higher rates of drug and alcohol usage. We feel that an open, honest discourse and education of the kids have a curriculum of drug awareness is much more effective than the random drug testing. April 30th, 2013, you had a meeting which countless students and parents spoke out about the random drug testing, how ineffective it was. They came to you with 655 signatures. A young sophomore girl came to you as putting together this type of movement, if you will, and discussed, quote, "That's the last thing that is needed is an expansion of an unsuccessful drug testing program," and said that students know how to get around the system, and those that should be in the program are not in the system. She pointed out the many detrimental and counterproductive points of the system. She said that the main priority of the school should be to learn and not catching students for what they do outside school. I mean, that's our approach. We couldn't agree more with what this girl said. And we feel they don't give the students enough credit. Here's parent and students at that particular meeting talking about how they don't want the random drug testing, how it's ineffective. It does no good. Parents and students, one after another, tell you that. And on that date, you were notified about the phone calls. We stopped giving phone calls before the testing, which was illegal. It's in the code that you're supposed to notify the parents before they get tested. Here, someone brings it up again, and you just disregard it. Many of you know Judge Apostolou. He's a well-renowned local judge. He's probably been on the bench and in law for 30 years or more. He's well-respected. He comes to the board and tells you that random drug testing doesn't work. You shouldn't do it. Does anybody listen to him? Does anybody take his advice? Somebody who's been in the legal system, dealing with children, dealing with drugs? He comes before the board and tells you, do not proceed with random drug testing. It does no good. We have evidence that members of the board gave Matt Franz of SportSafe information on when were the possible or the best days to test due to the schedule that the school had and what events were going on. You know, holidays and when the students were in and when they weren't. What is the objective of this testing we've been doing for 5 years? What is the objective? What are we doing better now than we weren't before? You have results, test results, for 2 years, 2010-2011 school year and the 2011-2012 school year. All your results. The positive results test for pot and alcohol. $30,000 a year now, and you found out you're getting positive for pot and alcohol. I could have told you that for free. We know that kids are smoking pot and drinking alcohol. We don't condone that. But what is the, so now you're going to punish them and not have them participate in extracurricular activities because of things they're doing on the weekend or their own time. So now they can spend less time doing extracurricular activities that may keep them out of things that are detrimental. Where's the logic? You have studies, you have people that come before you that talk about the negative effects of it. Judge Apostolou is a big one to me. And yet, let's not look at the policy, let's spend more money on the policy. Let's not listen to anyone. Let's do whatever we want, whatever we think we should do. The kids don't know anything. Let's not listen to them. The judge doesn't know anything. The parents, they don't need to parent their kids. We'll do it for them. Here's the results. 2 years, pot and alcohol. There's no heroin problem. You hear it in the media. It doesn't exist. Let the parents parent the kids. All these studies, the local judge, now we're spending $30,000 a year. You need to listen to what the community and what the professionals are saying. You know, they go down the testing, when it's day for testing, it's you follow me, and you walk down the hallway, you get paraded down to the basement so you can urinate in a cup and prove your innocence. How demeaning is that? Same thing with the SGS policy, the random drug testing. I believe that the chairperson of the policy committee needs to step down. The attorney needs to be dismissed because the attorney...
The clapping is unacceptable in the audience, please.
The attorney has reviewed both of these policies and found them to be in compliance, SGS and RDT. And this policy of the drug testing needs to be disbanded, improve the culture of the school, worry about the educational policies, and not policing the kids about random drug testing.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Are there any other comments?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
My name is Roseanne Scotty, and I'm the Executive Director of Drug Policy Alliance, New Jersey, and our office is located at 16 West Front Street in Trenton, New Jersey. I myself live in Philadelphia, and I ask the board's indulgence, as someone who's not from this district, to offer some assistance. I would like to talk a little about the research on random student drug testing. And before I had my job at
You just speak a little bit loudly, if you would, please. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Before I worked for Drug Policy Alliance, I spent about 6 years as a research coordinator at the University of Pennsylvania Center for Studies of Addiction. So I know research. And the research on random student drug testing shows unequivocally at this point that it is ineffective at best and detrimental at worst. There is a growing body of evidence, and it accumulates year after year after year, and the data pool gets bigger and bigger, and the longitudinal studies get longer and longer. And every single time, and I brought this data, I brought my own summary, and I also brought the original research for you to read on your own. Over and over again, it shows that random student drug testing does not deter drug use. And a growing body of evidence shows that it may even have harmful effects on students and schools, in that it can push kids towards harder drugs. I'm going to talk a little about those studies in a minute, but I want to say, you know, one of the things that I see that's most damaging about random student drug testing, as the years go on, and especially in the last couple years, is how it has become this negative force that is tearing apart school districts and school boards and parents, all of whom I believe are people of goodwill and want to do what we all want to do, which is keep kids safe. The question is, what is the most effective way to do that? We have evidence. No one is saying don't do programs to prevent kids from using drugs. I think what the parents here who oppose this, and what a growing group of parents around this state who are increasingly speaking out about this, are saying, we want programs that are effective. And more than that, they're increasingly saying, we want the respect from school boards and from school administrators to know what's best for our kids. What I'm seeing is these contentious meetings where school boards are saying, we are going to do this. And it used to be that parents listened and said, okay, I think you've looked into this and you may know. But more and more, as the evidence grows, the parents are reading the evidence. They're reading these studies. They're reaching out to researchers across the country from prestigious institutions and saying, I understand your research shows that this doesn't work and it might harm my students, my children, and I don't want that. And I think that, and listening to your students and the children of these parents, listening to these increasingly contentious fights over random student drug testing, is a huge problem, and I think it damages schools And I think it would be much better if people came together around programs that are effective and work together to implement something that keeps kids safe, because this isn't your only option. And I'm going to be really brief. I just want, and I am going to say, this is not, when I give you, and I'm going to, like I say, I brought the original studies with me so you can all look. I have multiple copies. This is not my interpretation of data. This is a direct quotes from various studies that have been done by the premier researchers in this country on random student drug testing. You know, a lot of people talk about the Michigan studies. People here have probably heard about them. They were, at this point, there's three major studies that have come out of the University of Michigan, and the lead researcher on them was Dr. Lloyd Johnson, who has been the principal investigator on the federal Monitoring the Future study since its inception in 1975. His credentials are unimpeachable. And the first two studies they did, both in 2003, showed no evidence of effectiveness of random student drug testing as a deterrent for drug use.
Excuse me. Can I ask you to do two more minutes?
I can.
Thank you.
And the third study, I'm going to quote from this one, just came out in 2003, and this is the most, I mean 2013, this is the most damning, and I beg you to read the results of this study. This is 14 years of data, thousands of young people across the country, and they looked at whether random student drug testing worked. And not only did they find that it didn't work, but, and I will read this directly, their conclusion was, they found evidence of slightly decreased levels of marijuana use, but increased levels in these schools of harder, more dangerous drugs. And they said, until further research can clarify the apparent opposing associations, schools should approach student drug testing with caution. This is 14 years of data from the premier researchers in the country. If there were a fraction of a chance that you were implementing a policy that in some way encouraged young people to move towards more dangerous drugs, would you not want to do a broader study of this? Would you not want to hear directly from some of these researchers who are open to requests from school boards? I know recently there's a discussion up in Northern Valley, again, a very contentious discussion, and a researcher from Kansas was actually Skyped in. These people are there to share their knowledge with you, and I think in the face of this growing body of research, it would be important for the sake of the children in this school that you do this. Another study just came out in 2013.
30 seconds
from Dr. Romer, who again, one of the lead researchers in the country, the University of Pennsylvania, a very prestigious organization, and in sum, I will directly quote him. In sum, the evidence does not support the use of random drug testing over other interventions, and he does support other interventions. If schools are concerned about students going down a dysfunctional path of drug use, they should consider other approaches that have been found to be effective in preventing the initiation of drug use or identifying students in need of treatment. These include the training of life skills, drug education, universal confidential screening, better school climates that encourage the norms of drug avoidance, and greater involvement of parents and teachers to help recognize the signs of drug use so they can intervene and refer youths to treatment if necessary. Looking at those cases by randomly testing students is less effective, does little to educate students about the hazards of drug use, and misses the ones most likely to be at risk. I implore you to read this research. I implore you to reach out to these researchers before you make any further decision on reestablishing this policy.
Thank you. If you wouldn't mind, if you could say your name and affiliation once again for us, please.
My name is Roseanne Scotti, and I am the director of Drug Policy Alliance, New Jersey.
And would you spell your last name, please?
Yes, S-C-O-T-T-I, and it's also on the memo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, and I apologize for putting the time limit on, folks. We do have a three-minute policy. I've extended that this evening, but we do want to, again, in the interest of Christmas shopping, perhaps?
Yes, yes. Actually, I think I can make it 1 minute. How's that?
1 minute would be wonderful.
I want to see that certificate.
I'm sorry?
The MRO certificate. Yeah. You asked if we had it. Why would we get that? We don't have it. Okay, I appreciate that, because I don't know if he took the 12 required CMEs.
I'm sorry, could you state your name and address, please?
This is my fourth time up here. Jeannie Batillo, 78 Morris Avenue, Manasquan.
Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Mr. Gross, I also want to thank you. I think you did a great job at the policy meeting. I know I'm hard to deal with, and I really think you did a good job, and I wanted to thank you for that. There's been a lot of people researching a lot of things, and there's a 12 continuing ed classes you must take every 4 years in order to be certified. That organization, he was never certified before. He was certified twice with the MROCC, and the other two doctors who are certified also use that organization. But he did, Dr. France did apply for the 12 continuing ed classes in 2004. However, he called up and canceled and asked for a refund. So without those CMEs, he can't be certified. So I'll give it to you that maybe there, we did check with all of the classes, places you can go to get it. We couldn't find it. So, right, and that's from Barbara? Or no? Okay, all right, so if you could just show that to me, I really appreciate it. I just wanna make one statement, because that policy meeting, that was really, really intense for me. Okay? Because you know, it's here, because it's my kid. I really think I had my first nervous breakdown ever in my life, and I'm 49. When I saw what was on the screen, the reactions, and I'm thinking about the children, I came home and cried. I had neighbors come over, hugging. I couldn't believe my mind. I don't know what, if you want to say it's neglect, ignorance, lack of interest, or whatever it is. But it horrified me that I couldn't even breathe. And my neighbor said, "You're having a nervous breakdown." I am. I had one. But that's how disturbing that was. I think what you demand is we relinquish our parental rights of authority over our born child's bodily fluids because you know best. But you knew nothing. You failed me, you failed my children. You failed everyone's child. I don't know how we got here and how this happened, but I'm gonna tell you one thing, and I mean it. I'm not gonna let you continue with random drug testing. I'm not. There's too much evidence, and I drank the Jesus juice, I know. And I feel that we're hurting people. And until we stop it, come together as community, maybe bring police departments in, everybody in. Let's all make sure we're on the same plan. We're all together. And that's all I'm gonna ask that we all do as a school board, as a community, and the parents and the kids. Let's talk to the kids. We can't just assume that they're all guilty, but pee in a cup and then just prove you're innocent. We can't have that anymore. For 5 years, you've been doing it. These other districts are bringing it in and they're all crazy and heroin. I believe they're heroin. But the drug testing that we do, you can't find it. Because you can't drug test everybody. And I think that's what the problem that this community doesn't understand. It's a smaller population that you're leaving out. And maybe that kid's in the corner and is waiting for a school bus. Well, maybe that kid needs help. But we went from 10,000 to 30,000. We had a 26 in there for a little bit. We had a couple counselors and we have a security guard. And I feel that we've gone all punitive. And we're cutting the kids at the knees. We're not giving them the tools that they need to be successful. Because they're our future. I'm sorry, I went more than a minute, but Merry Christmas.
You did go over a minute, but Merry Christmas. And you didn't say it either.
I'm sorry, I did, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Oh, you did? Okay.
Can I?
Thank you.
That four more.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Mrs. Patillo. Would anyone else like to say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
There you go. Very good. Okay, let's move on. We will now, that will be the close of the public forum. If now, we will move on to an old business, new business. Mrs. Roberts, yes. Is everyone done speaking? Okay, 2 minutes. 2 minutes, Mrs. Roberts.
I understand. I just have to make a comment that our last board meeting, we had an unscheduled PowerPoint presentation that went, supposed to be 10 minutes, that went on for at least 20, and then listened to, I don't know, maybe 20 more minutes of that unscheduled presentation. And when I was up here a few minutes ago, I felt like you were dismissing me. And when Ms. Scotty was speaking, you were very rushed to not hear her point of view. And I have to say that is an attitude of this administration that is prevalent. It happened with the SGS. We went before the lawyer who told us, no, we're compliant and everything is fine. And now he's telling us that again tonight with this policy. I have no faith and confidence in that or in this board to institute a legal compliant policy in the future, not now and not in the future. I have no faith and confidence in that, and I would like to see your evidence. You're telling me you have evidence. We did research too, which contradicts yours completely, and if you want to say that your evidence is better than mine, I have no confidence in that. And I resent that you rush me and you rush Ms. Scotty, but you have all the time in the world for someone who has a point of view that is compliant with yours.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Not from the seat. Not from the seat, Jeannie. Take your time. Name and address, please.
Okay, Jeannie Patillo, 78 Moores Avenue, Mazaquan. I'm just intrigued on this right here. I see it all, got it all. We must have 15 people call these. I'm looking at it. Problem is, if he had the MRO, and he does, I'm looking at it, but why didn't he sign as the MRO when the positive results came back? Because they came back as John Green. So we still really need to look into this. And I just don't want anybody to just take it for, you know, granted. I want to make sure that we look into this, because I'm concerned. Okay, we all should be concerned. So the MRO that makes a deal with my son as he leaves the building, because that's a legal contract, I know it's non-federal, but there's state laws, and then the reports come back stamped as a John Green. Why would John, you know what I mean? You got to keep them together. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shella Sala, 44 Parker Avenue. I just think, I wanted to say that I think these parents make some compelling points, and being a former board member, I know that the only information we relied on came from the drug vendor. So I'd like the board to, when you're making this decision, perhaps, you know, getting information on both sides, not just taking it from the vendor who is being compensated, might be in our best interest. And it's a huge decision to make, and I think you really should think about keeping it suspended until you can gather a lot of it and reevaluate it. So just my thoughts, depending on remembering where we get our information from is the person we pay.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, we will move on. We'll close the public forum and move on to our old business and new business. Do we have comments from the board? Mrs. Verdi.
I do. Can you hear me? I'm going to steal a little line, an opening line from an old friend, a little housekeeping. In October, we had a policy committee meeting, and I suggested that board business stays on our board emails. And I hope that the new board, come in January, that they take that into consideration, which means no forwarding to other emails. Obviously, I was very vocal. I was extremely repetitive about certain emails that were found to be forwarded. Finally, I got an answer from Ms. Laprida a while ago about the squamboe@gmail.com, which apparently belongs to Mr. Shelton. But we went through that little rosy, ring around the rosy for months, but whatever. Lastly, I tell the new board, please read your agendas. If anybody changed passwords or shared passwords, refrain from doing that. Read your agendas. A question is not opposition. It's to learn, to understand, to comprehend. And lastly, I wish the board a lot of success. In my opinion, in order to succeed, you have to have good leadership, open leadership, fair leadership. And it's my opinion that the new board really think on who that leader should be. And again, my opinion, I would propose that Pat Walsh should be the president, and Jim Walsh, I hope that you're in the running for vice president. And again, I wish you lots of success and Merry Christmas to all.
Are there other comments? Other comments from the board at this time? This is old business, new business, yes.
Okay, good evening. I'd like to...
Mr. Campbell?
I'd like to say something to the people. I've made notes, so bear with me, please. As a member of this board, as a member of this community, as a member of this town, I've had 5 children go through this school system. And I just want to say, if you mind, bear with me, I want to read what I have. I've heard and read what I needed to hear and see what, from where I sit, that our vendor, SportSafe, this board and administration has not done anything illegal or wrong. Therefore, I am moving to make a motion to reinstate the random drug testing policy and regulations effective immediately with our current vendor, SportSafe, and with the understanding that the superintendent will communicate with the vendor to address any potential state regulations that may need future modifications. And they will also communicate with the staff to ensure that the notifications of phone calls are being made to parents and any discrepancies in paperwork are resolved. Excuse me. In addition, the administration shall clarify any ambiguities between the students, the handbook, and forms so that parents and students clearly understand the policies. Any students subjected to the following of tests or subsequent as a result of prior positive testing results, and any student being withheld from the activities for testing refusal, shall be reinstated only upon compliance with the policy and the rules formally in effect. Besides this and being on this board, I am part of 25 years of the JCC in this town. I can tell you from kids that are 10 years old that are using drugs, alcohol, marijuana. And there are other people in this audience that have been there with me. It's not just the high school, and it starts in the elementary school. These policies have to be done. I think we have our evaluations that our numbers have gone down in this town with our sending districts of drug and alcohol. Whether you call it drugs or you call it alcohol, it's still a drug. I don't care where you want to put it. And these kids are getting it, and they're doing it. And again, I've been here for 28 years in the town, more than 20 on the JCC. I'm on this board, and I believe that it is effective, and that's where I stand. Thank you. I make a motion to reinstate.
That was the motion. That is a motion to reinstate the drug policy, and a second by with conditions, as noted, and a second by Mr. Shelton. Are there comments? See, Mr. Walsh.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. I think this policy came about when you look back 5 years ago. You could completely understand the sending districts in Manasquan and what it faced. And I think if you take a look at the numbers, they've gone down. But I also know that you can do stuff with numbers, and I'm accusing no one of anything. I personally don't have a problem drug testing my son. He graduated here and he's in college. What I would like to, I'm going to vote no for this, and what I'd like to see is more input from parents. And I completely empathize with the sending district rep from Spring Lake Heights. I just wanted to go on record saying is this is an emotional issue, and I completely respect everyone's opinion, but I think our job up here is to be objective. I mean, I'm not a bleeding heart liberal lefty that wants to do away with things. I just honestly think that the taxpayers, it's their taxes that run the school, and it's their children from all the sending districts that come that we oversee. And I think we have to reach out to them in some capacity. So my vote will be no, and I just wanted to explain it.
Tom, I'd like to add something.
Mrs. Verdi?
I also will be voting no for this, and for the sole reason that, in my opinion, we did not investigate certain components that were shared by parents. And in fact, someone in closed session told me to go ahead, start the witch hunt. I'm digging. And you know what? You could call it whatever you want. But no one here in this room that was in that back room can tell me that we addressed all of the components. And I don't want to hear, well, that happened a long time ago or not. There are issues.
Which ones weren't addressed? Which ones weren't addressed?
What wasn't addressed? The emails that Mr. Shelton had with Safe Sport. That wasn't addressed. Everything else, yeah, there were other things that were addressed, Mr. Gross. But that one component was not. And to me, that has to be looked at as well before anybody makes any kind of decision. So we vote, you know my vote.
Other comments?
Mr. Bauer, I just think going forward that the most important thing with the policy or with any of the policies is the integrity of the policy and the integrity, and especially with the system that's in place going forward. This may not be the final system that we use. This might not be the final vendor that we use. I think it's the philosophy needs to be confirmed by, you know, the new board coming in January, whether that's still the philosophy of the board. And the system can constantly be tweaked if the philosophy is that we want a random drug test. But I think the integrity needs to be protected. And I think that Mr. Gross, you know, in his investigation, did a good job of eliminating a lot of the issues. And I think the issues that were raised were sound ones when they were raised. And I think Mr. Gross did a good job of looking into every one of them. And there was things to be said for every one of those allegations. When we heard those allegations, everyone had every right to be disturbed. I mean, it was disturbing. And I think, Mr. Gross, I want to thank you for doing your due diligence. And I think the policy committee did their due diligence. I think having the parents and the community members come in was, you know, we haven't done that. And I've been on two boards. We've never done that before. And I want to thank them for coming in. And I don't want anyone to feel like they weren't heard, because you were heard. And this isn't the final conversation we're going to have about this. I mean, we all received a lot of emails today. We did a lot of reading today. I want to thank everyone that took the time to send things today. There was a lot to read. And it's not that I didn't read it and that I didn't take it all into consideration. I just think that it's something that we can constantly be improving on if the philosophy is that we want to be in the random drug testing business. And I think that's what each and every board is going to have to decide for themselves. Thanks. And Mrs. Verdi is correct. The integrity is the most important part of this policy, and that has to constantly be protected. Because without the integrity of the policy, the policy is useless. But I do support the policy if it's done the right way, 100% the right way.
Thank you, Tom. We have a motion and a second. We'll ask for roll call, Sandy. A yes vote will be for the reinstatement of the policy with conditions. This is a Manasquan only vote. Again, a yes vote will be for reinstatement, and no vote will be to keep it suspended.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes, can I make a comment? Or could I not make one yet? After? Okay, yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
No.
Mr. Walsh?
No.
Mrs. Walsh?
I'm going to abstain. And the reason I'm going to abstain is because I think this board going forward.
Mrs. Walsh, can you be a little louder, please?
I said, I believe this board going forward needs to do exactly what Tom Pellegrino said. We need to re-examine this issue. We need to absolutely ensure the integrity going forward and make sure that our goals are the goals that will be met by implementing a policy of this nature.
Motion carried. Are there any other questions or comments from the board at this time?
I just have a comment. I do support the random drug testing. And I know a lot of people are saying, you know, how do we know that it works? I know it works in my house. Both my kids, it's a deterrent for them. And I thank the school for helping me to keep them away from drugs.
Thank you, Linda. With that, I will ask for a motion for adjournment. Mr. Shelton, a second. Mr. Pellegrino, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, meeting adjourned. Merry Christmas to everyone and a happy new year. Thank you for coming.
apples to you.